Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Ooh, now we made it. We have summited the mountain. Dead center of our work week. I was actually counting the number of weekends that I have left until wedding weekend, because it's 2 months out now. The number of weekends I have left where I don't have to travel or other obligations, and there are four. So as much as it feels like the time is dragging because I'm waiting for a big event in the future, four free weekends left before the end of the year. You guys, if you haven't decorated for Halloween yet, then you're way behind the eight ball. I'm just about this weekend to decorate for the fall, and I feel like I'm behind. And the leaves are starting to turn now in many parts of the Northeast, and it's the beautiful fall weather that I absolutely adore, makes this my favorite time of the year. We're heading into week 7 in the NFL, which is crazy. College football, they're more than halfway through their seasons. Heck, we are 2 months away from bowl season in college football. The NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, and its postseason, it's all happening in October, which is why we call it the fulcrum. Goodness. Okay, our hump show means you get to ask Amy anything that comes up just over 30 minutes from now. So find us on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. We're going to get to some of your funny responses about crazy athlete injuries that you remember. And we're looking for ones that were kind of born out of anger, emotion. Also on our Facebook page, thank you for your kind words about Penny. She's doing much better and goes to the doctor on Wednesday, because it will be a Wednesday. It'll be your hump day Wednesday. If you're already awake on your Wednesday, well, good morning to you. 855-212-4227. But you're going to have to wait, because we're pleased to welcome Cynthia Freeland. She is the queen of data science for NFL Network. You can catch her with the cast and crew of thousands on game day morning on Sundays. They have a lot of fun, and she always gets these really cool assignments where she interprets the trends and interprets what's happening on the field in these amazing analytical formulas. Just awesome how her brain works. And so it's always good to have Cynthia, but it feels like forever since we've had you on the air. So it's good that we're rectifying that situation. Well, let's start there with your trends and your ideas, your observations. Now we're through 6 weeks. We've seen enough, at least a third of the season. So what are a few of the trends that stand out to you in that brain of yours, girl?
I think it's funny because we've kind of seen like the first, like the, usually it's like 4 weeks until sort of the data starts to become reliable and you kind of know what teams look like. It's really taken up like 6 weeks to kind of get there. So it's a little later. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that, you know, we're not seeing as many people play in preseason as we have in the past. But I also think it's because we're kind of in this, like, defenses are now sort of catch up to the way offenses were trying to play for the past 2 years. And we're seeing the defenses catch up.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that, because I generally talk about how the first month is about teams settling into some type of consistent rhythm. And yet here we are 6 weeks through and still have very few teams that are consistent week in and week out. It still feels like it's kind of spotty at times.
Sometimes I feel like I'm watching different teams, right? Like, I mean, obviously the Bills had to deal with a bunch of injuries, but I feel like I've seen several different Bills teams, even when they were fully, like fully staffed, right? And I've seen several different, like, the Eagles teams, and I've seen several different versions of the, you know, I will say that, you know, the Seahawks, they were missing both of their tackles, so that's maybe a thing. But, you know, you've just seen lots of different versions of the same teams. And the Bengals, I mean, who's been more bipolar than them, right? Like,
right.
They started so slow. And then now, last game against the Seahawks, their red zone defense was really on point. So, you know, you're like, well, what am I even looking at here? So now the data is starting to sort of regulate.
That's interesting. Well, then who are the most consistent teams, according to what you've seen with the numbers?
The sad part is that, like, sometimes consistent means not great. So in for fantasy, you always want to play running backs against the Broncos, because 4 out of 5 weeks, it's just been an absolute nightmare for the Broncos run defense. So, but the reason is, in a lot of ways, the way that they're playing, and they haven't adjusted yet. So that's the type of thing that has been consistent. Let's see, we'll be on the positive side. And I can't believe I'm saying this, because I'm from Michigan. So, like, we're born and bred to, like, think that the Lions are always going to lose, but the Lions have actually found ways to, you know, really get a run game going despite lots of injuries, including to David Montgomery. Like, I'm pretty sure Craig Reynolds will have a pretty significant use case in this next matchup. So against the Ravens even. So it's really O-lines have been consistent. And again, teams with consistent O-lines have consistently played better, right? Like, we didn't see the Eagles falter until they lost both their right guard, who's on IR, and then obviously their right tackle, Lane Johnson, who's like one of, if not the best in the business. He went out in that Jets game, and you saw what happened. So that's the type of thing that, you know, I would say O-lines are the thing I feel most comfortable with.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And considering that running the ball and stopping the run are still two very important factors in being a winning football team, no matter how much the game gets reinvented, you still hear people say, if you can run the ball and stop the run, that's the key to being a success. All right, well, let's talk about the Lions, because I'm pretty sure I saw you dress up your dog as a lion, and I'm sure that was fun for him. At what point would you begin to believe that the team is legitimate and they're not going to let you down, Cynthia?
I don't know. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game, like, in my life, at least not that I was, like, you know, able to, like, have, like, a thought that wasn't, like, a whatever babies think, you know? I will say, like, look, when I look at the data, I do all my data blind. So when it, like, for example, when my model spits out that the Lions are going to beat the Ravens this week, I'm like, as a fan, I'm like, oh, God, please don't, like, ugh, don't jinx it or whatever. But, you know, I think that their ability for their, you know, defense to really pick up the slack, we will see what the if the defense is legit this week, as opposed to weeks past, where it's clearly improved. They're able to rush the passer a bit more. They're able to stop the run pretty well. Way different from last year. But is that enough? I don't know. Or is that a function of who they played a little bit? Like, we'll get a chance to really see this week.
I know that they are missing David Montgomery, and last week didn't have Jahmyr Gibbs, but Jared Goff and his group of receivers have been really consistent, and you're going to laugh at me and maybe yell too, but I started throwing Goff out there as an early, very early MVP candidate. Sorry.
I like it. No, I like it. Listen, I really, first of all, I want him to succeed for a lot of reasons. One, like, he's such a nice person that it just felt like he was done dirty. You know, like,
yes.
It felt like they were like, eh, you're just, like, not good enough. And as far as, like, you know, people we've interviewed or people we've met at the combines and people we've studied, and for me, people that I've tracked since college, et cetera, like, Jared Goff is a really, like, he's, like, a kind person. So I always like to see someone succeed. So I'm with you on that. If nothing else, you're definitely going to want to keep playing him in fantasy, because he's really put out some good fantasy, especially, you know, there's 6 teams on a bye this week and there's a lot of injuries going on. Like, Jared Goff, you are totally playing in fantasy.
Cynthia Freeland is with us from NFL Network, crunching numbers now 6 weeks in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So the Lions have one of the best records in the NFL. So do the Dolphins at 5-1. Please, Cynthia, how do the numbers explain the Dolphins?
Well, first of all, speed is real. Like, a lot of people talk about, like, you know, like, you hear things and people are like, yeah, like, what's the difference? You know what? We always see it. They keep coming back to the combine, but, you know, you always see it at the combine. These guys run these blazing fast 40s, and then they're not always, like, they don't always work out in the league, right? Like, these guys, like, whoa, you're not first round draft pick because you ran 4.28 or whatever. But the actual fact is that the guys who can translate that to the field, they have a massive advantage. 7 of the 8 fastest next-gen stats ball carriers this season so far are all performances by the Dolphins' offense. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is they've done a masterful job creating enough run game so that the quick passes still work and the defenses are tricked enough. Because what they're really doing is they're having Tua throw, it's like 2.37 seconds. It's the second fastest in the NFL. And they're having to just like deal and get rid of the ball and then asking for yak. And it's working. And then they're having Raheem Mostert or whoever their running back is, because obviously Devin Achan, who changed his name, Achan, he was averaging like double digits. You don't average that for a whole season. But what they were doing was working. And it's also working for Raheem Mostert. So the truth is they're really staggering the looks, and they're kind of like, they're just out ahead. You're actually noticing now that some of the teams, some of the plays that they threw out there and put on tape, like in that 70 burger that they put up against the Broncos, other teams are copying those plays now.
And Mike McDaniel clearly has some kind of creative, innovative mind in that.
I mean, his mind is crazy. He's like in the best way possible. I say that as like, if I could like just have a daily monologue of what he's doing, I would be all in. Like, I'm like, please just tell me what you're thinking. Driving, like what he eats, taking care of his daughter. Like, I think that there is like, I think there's like a running monologue of just like amazing stuff in there the entire time.
Well, you know, he got distracted by a pair of white crisp shoes that a reporter was wearing at a press conference recently and just stopped to comment on them. So yes, it's like stream of consciousness.
Correct. I actually think we hear a lot of it, but can you imagine if that's what he's willing to tell reporters, like what's going on in his actual head, if that's what he's saying to reporters? Oh, I see a purple line. He's the best.
Okay, so in that division, the Buffalo Bills have been the reigning champions for a few seasons, but they're facing a major challenge. They did get that victory over Miami, but we've seen the Bills' offense also at times, well, three quarters this past weekend go scoreless. What stands out about a team that you are very familiar with, having spent time with them the last few preseasons?
A couple things. First, it's never easy to lose, even if it's not on the same side of the ball. You lose three of your best players. They lose Tre'Davious White, and then the very next week, they lose, like, two guys in the middle. So, obviously, they need their safeties. They need, Matt Milano, my BC friend. And then, of course, they have this defensive tackle, Daquan Jones, who's also awesome. So, you lose, like, a lot. It just changes things. It just does. And those are, like Matt Milano, off-ball linebackers don't get enough love just in general, because we don't really know. They need a rebrand. Like, they don't have a lot of good, like, stats, right? Like, that you don't really see it. It's not often that you see, like, maybe they get a couple sacks a year, but not, like, you know, double-digit sacks, something like that, right?
Right.
Like, they need a better branding. Like, oh, like, this is a linebacker tackle or whatever. But Matt Milano is that guy. And Daquan Jones against the run specifically, like, that guy is, like, super underrated. So when I'm looking at, like, how they changed their thought process, and then I think they went over to England a little bit late, which is, it doesn't seem to work out if you don't travel with more than 48 hours ahead of time, and it didn't work out. But then they came back, and obviously, you know, it's a familiar opponent with Brian Daboll. They know a lot about each other. They, you know, that's just, that always looks a little different. People are like, they should have blown them out. But, like, I'm going to say asterisk there, like, Daboll knows how to get in. Daboll made Josh Allen who he is. So clearly, when you make the machine, like, Dr. Frankenstein knows what to do with the monster, like, more than anyone else. So that's how that works.
The monster. I love that. Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. You can see her on NFL Game Day morning on Sundays. It's a cast and crew of thousands, but she's unique with the data science. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Just out of curiosity, what would you think about flag football in the Olympics, Cynthia?
I'm all in. I think, like, we sometimes forget, because we see, like, regular football, like, how hard that is for just to get it kind of going places. Like, my sister lives abroad, so they stay up late to watch it. But, like, Flag can be – you can play that in recess. And not to say that, you know, I'm not diminishing how great of athletes they are, but, like, sometimes things are a bit more tangible when you can do them. So it's just a lot easier and a lot less, you know, the level of effort in order to get people interested in, like, really loving flag is just so much lower than the bar for a regular tackle football. So I think that, it, like, number one, it's great. And two, like, I hope it really opens, like, a huge doorway to women being able to have collegiate level flag football, more scholarship, give them some NIL money. Like, I like meet some athletes, and I think that it is incredibly athletic, and it is a hard, it is still a hard sport despite the tackling.
Maybe it takes off the way pickleball has for people who don't necessarily or can't necessarily play tennis, but this is a good option.
See, here's my problem with pickleball. I love pickleball, but I don't want to watch someone else play pickleball.
I do not.
Right?
Nope.
No, I'll play. I want to watch people play flag football, though. But you have to remember, people across the world, like, they don't get to watch it as much as we do. And I think it's like, I'm like, you're going to like this one, I promise.
Okay, so let's talk about, we mentioned a couple of the other, the 5-1 teams. You talked about the Eagles not being as consistent. They don't seem to be the same team that they were when they went to the Super Bowl last year.
Yes and no. Because remember, like, until they went to the Super Bowl, it didn't look the way that it looks now. I think part of it is we've seen a number of injuries. For example, last week, Jalen Carter, their rookie defensive tackle, who's, you know, really darn good, he wasn't playing. And that makes a big difference because this is a team that's really good at stopping the run, but it's going to be different without him there. They're used to him playing. They obviously, Javon Hargrave is now a Niner, went to the enemy. You know, like, they're missing some pieces, have to, like, figure out some, like, new ways to get the old push that they had. They're getting there. They also have two new coordinators on offense and on defense. So it's not going to look the same right away. But I, you know, you look at some of the things going on and you see, like, okay, one, obviously Devontae Smith, like, a really good player. He's only been targeted, like, on 20% of plays, which is
right.
Not a lot. You know, like, usually a guy like him, you'd see at least, like, 27, 28. Like, that's not a – that number doesn't feel right. And, sure, A.J. Brown's, like, lighting things up. Absolutely, four games of 125 or more. Like, that's great, but it's starting to become something where, you know, offenses – or defenses, rather, know what that offense is made out of. But – they have such a multiple attack that this is a really interesting game this weekend between the Eagles and the Dolphins, because I would kind of say something the same about both. I trust both of their offenses way more than I trust either of their defenses, especially with how banged up the defense has been on in the back end for the Eagles. So, you know, Slay's banged up, et cetera. So that's where I'm like, interesting. That's what who has the best plan to get out of trouble from the other one's offense?
I wouldn't have thought that the Eagles, and they obviously can put up points, but the way they played to this juncture in the season, that they, if it's a track meet, that they would be keeping up with the Dolphins.
You know, it's funny you say that. We all saw that 70-point game, and you see the averages, and then you see what they do, like, last week. But remember, they got down 2 touchdowns in order to have to come back from that. So I don't think they'd like to be in that situation. And I mean, I would imagine, you know, it's a much, no, there's no shade here for, you know, the Panthers, but you can't let that happen when you play the Eagles. If you get down 2 touchdowns to the Eagles, that's going to be a really hard deficit to overcome. So you're right. But part of the reason why they've had to have, other than that 70-point game, so much offense is, their defense has been a bit suspect in certain areas.
All right, so one more thing that I think is really fascinating. I know Anthony Richardson may not play the rest of the season, so his rookie campaign truncated a little bit. Frank Reich talks about how Bryce Young is really close. There are a lot of people who rave about what he's done so far. We know what C.J. Stroud has done. How do you evaluate rookie quarterbacks when a lot of times they're on really bad teams?
Well, that's the problem, right? I mean, I think it's more interesting to, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with Bryce Young. I think he has kind of what I would say is a pretty normal trajectory. Like, they haven't really asked him to do a lot. He's got, you know, not the fastest receivers. I mean, Adam Thielen has been a really great addition to the team, but they do not have a lot of speed and dynamic talent in terms of their wide receivers or tight ends. A lot of teams make that with a tight end. And I think that just what it really says to me is that CJ Stroud, the fact that he's like top five in the NFL in completing downfield passes, which are 10 plus air yard passes, and he's had for many games, like four of his five O linemen haven't even been playing. Like the regular starters haven't been playing, and they've been done it, you know, largely without a reliable run game. Like, I think it just says more about CJ Stroud than it does about like again, Bryce Young will be fine. Just give the guy a chance. But I think maybe we underestimated how fast CJ Stroud could pick up this level of the game. Obviously, Jerod Johnson, who's his quarterback down there, was also a quarterback himself in the league and came from, you know, that type of, you know, they don't have the similar bodies at all. Like Jerod Johnson's much larger, but the point is, you know, sometimes you get a good teacher and things really do actually come together quite well for you.
I like the impact of Doug Peterson on Trevor Lawrence. Not that he wasn't already a great quarterback, and we know what he could do, but the fact that he had someone who spoke his language, it meant such a difference from year one to year two.
100%.
I like that. Good stuff. I always learn something from you, Cynthia Freeland, always. All right, you can find Cynthia on Twitter and pictures of Gordy at C. Freeland, and she does the data science for NFL Network on game day morning on Sundays, which is a lot of fun. Just good stuff in that brain that we like to pull out. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, girl.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's great talking to you. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I am so happy for me, too. But it's really neat to hear from friends all over the country, some of whom, in the case of Cynthia, I haven't seen in person since the Super Bowl in Atlanta, I think, was when I first met her. It goes back a way, and yet we've stayed tight, and she's always welcome here on the show. But we bond over being dog moms for Penny and Gordy and sports, yes, but also running and fantasy football. She's the commissioner of my league. And so, yeah, we've become fast friends, even though we've spent, gosh, fewer than 60 minutes in the same place together ever. That is one of the benefits of being so connected via social media and via just in general, electronic communication makes it a lot easier to have friends over the miles. Gosh, I have a lot of friends who've done long distance relationships in the past, some going back decades, who did not have the benefit of cell phones or texting or video calls. Now, Bob and I don't do a lot of video calls. We talk about it. We do it for date nights, but we end up doing more just regular voice calls because we're both busy in our own houses while we're on the phone. So last night when I was on the phone with him, I made a pot of chili, I washed dishes, I folded laundry, he did two loads of laundry. So we end up doing other things so that we can spend time together even as we're accomplishing what we need to accomplish on any given night. But long distance relationships, they're so much easier now than they used to be, say 20 years ago. I can't even imagine. Remember pen pals? That's not really a thing anymore, but it was a necessity back then. Anyway, so for Cynthia and I, it feels like we're fast friends and sisters, even though we've not spent a whole lot of time in the same place, but we're already looking ahead to Vegas to be sure. All right, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, last chance to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It comes up inside of the next 10 minutes. On our Facebook page, too, oh goodness, some of your responses about freak or emotion-induced athlete injuries, we're getting those as well on our social. So yeah, there's plenty going on with our traffic to social media now, so you can join in the fun on The Hump Show. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Broke my foot on Saturday, so I'd rather just get it out there and say it and not have y'all speculating. And then after the game on Saturday in Missouri, you ask. I called Coach Tanner, told him, make sure he was okay with it, and he died laughing when I told him. So obviously there's not a lot of empathy from him. It was after the game, and certainly that was a gut-wrenching emotional loss, and I was frustrated.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of South Carolina coach Shane Beamer, who admits he broke his foot in a burst of emotion, is frustrated about the game, and then just went ahead and confessed it so the people wouldn't ask him. What other athletes and or coaches, or maybe it's you personally, in a fit of emotion, whether it be rage, anger, frustration, annoyance, irritation, self-deprecation, whatever it is, tears, sadness, devastation, you can remember even they or you getting injured because of one moment which you completely lost your mind. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're getting set to answer your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So you can also send those to our Twitter, show Twitter, or our Facebook page. I love the fact that you're still voting for TD of the Week. So finding the poll now. You don't have to ask me about what I ate for dinner last night, but I will tell you, I'm sure we've all been in this situation at some point or another. I have nothing to eat in the house. Even my canned goods are depleted. I was eating a lot of what I had and just kind of worked out that before I went to Atlanta over the weekend, I finished up my fresh goods, meaning my salad stuff, my fresh veggies, my eggs, just a lot of my milk. It's all gone. And that's great because it worked out perfectly. How often does it not work out perfectly? And then you either have to give it away or throw it away or that kind of thing. But I've also found out that I don't have a lot of meat in the freezer right now. It just happens to be one of those times where both the cupboards and the fridge and the freezer are relatively bare.
Pain.
So last night I was trying to figure out what in the heck should I make for dinner. And I thought, okay, I'll make some chili. I at least know that I have some beans, some tomatoes. I had some ground turkey in the freezer. But I thought about it too late. I didn't pull the ground turkey out of the freezer until about an hour before I was hungry. So it was still completely frozen solid. Instead, Jay, I pivoted to white chicken chili. But I cheated.
Cheated?
Do you ever just, well, I shouldn't ask you this. This is a rhetorical question. Do you ever just start throwing stuff into a pot?
Let's see what happens.
Just see how it tastes.
I've done that
right.
before.
So I decided I had a can of white meat, like chunk chicken, threw that in the pot, then threw some white cannellini beans in the pot. Then I did have actually the seasoning for white chicken chili, so I threw that in the pot. Beef broth, because I didn't have any chicken broth. So I put in my white chicken chili, I put beef broth. I put garlic. I had some onions and peppers. That's where I kind of got away from it being white. Had the onions, but then added bell pepper. Had mushrooms. They were white mushrooms. So that kind of went along with the theme. And then I said to Bob, should I add some corn? Ooh, that sounds good. Sure, why not? It wasn't white corn. It was yellow corn. So I do have some other colors in my white chicken chili. But it's tasty. It was pretty good. I ate my last slice of bread.
I mean, it worked out, right?
It did, but I've got nothing. And this morning I should go grocery shopping, but I don't want to. I just want to go home and make sure Penny's okay and just, yeah.
That's fair.
It's right. I don't want to whine about our schedule, especially since last night I ended up working from home. Thought I was going to get to bed earlier. No, I had to wait for the Amazon Prime driver. He didn't bring Penny's donut collar until 8 o'clock in the morning. So I had to wait for him to show up. Do I sound like I'm whining? I kind of do, don't I?
No.
You have to think about it. Would you try the white chicken chili with non-white vegetables?
I'd give it a shot.
Would you?
Yeah.
You don't really like chili though.
No, not my favorite, but if it's there,
it's
like,
not spicy.
I kind of like spicy. I'm a spicy food.
Well then why
guy.
Don't you like chili?
I don't know. Just not something that I ever like would order. But if it's there, like, I'd give it a shot.
Your mom's never made chili?
No, maybe that's why. I never got into it. She never really made it.
Interesting. Okay. I suppose there's that. Plus, the fact that you said order chili as opposed to making some chili of your own.
No, that's crazy.
All right. My chili has vegetables, so I know for sure you wouldn't eat it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's out.
You're allergic. Jay's allergic to vegetables. He might
I
be
had
the only,
like one or two the other day.
The only 30-something on the planet who's allergic to vegetables. Kids, maybe. Producer Jay's allergic to vegetables. All right. Questions for Ask Amy Anything. Last couple of seconds here on our show Twitter, on our Facebook page. You can also answer our question of the night. And if you too would like to check out what Penny looks like in a funny donut collar. Well, the poor dog, she had no idea what was happening.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Just a reminder, if you don't hear your question posed on this edition of Ask Amy Anything, not only does Jay save questions, so you might hear it on a future edition or a video version, but I always go back and answer questions on both Twitter and Facebook during the day on Monday. It's going to have to wait till Penny goes to the vet. However, I will get to your questions. And if I can answer them quickly and succinctly, I will do that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Producer Jay has got the questions. And people every now and then will say, why don't we do Ask Jay Anything? Here's the simple answer. Because it's non-alliteration. And I actually came up with Ask Amy Anything because of the A's.
Also, we did do that once.
Yeah, we've got a video up on our YouTube channel. Go check it out. 10 questions with Producer Jay.
All right. Well, I just will start off by saying that I got tons of questions about Penny and asking how Penny's doing. So.
Oh, she is doing much better. I got a spray to put on the hot spot, and it gave her some instant relief. She didn't flinch as much when I tried to touch it. I had to cut out some matted hair. I'm still taking her to the vet because it's a large spot, but it's not nearly as raw. The color is much more of a white as opposed to a bright red. She adjusted to the donut collar around her neck. She got some good sleep on Tuesday, so Penny is on the mend.
All right. So, you were in Atlanta last weekend doing some things.
So
we got to start here. What cupcakes did you choose for the wedding?
Oh, good question. Thank you for asking. I guess I did tell you about my best friend's dog who likes baked goods and ate 6 cupcakes while we were out picking up our dinner. We had to start over with that particular group of cupcakes. Yeah, we were very scientific about it. We were extremely nerdy about the process of choosing what options and what flavors. And it was awesome. You guys, it was so much fun. We had a control group. We had notes. We had photos. We had a scale, for heaven's sakes. And what we decided after trying a half dozen different cupcake varieties, we've narrowed it down to 2. And I brought samples back with me to New Jersey so that Bob can try them next weekend when he's visiting. And actually, my brother is coming to hang out with us because I want him and Bob to spend more time together. So my brother and Bob will have the final say. But are you ready? White chocolate raspberry with chocolate ganache filling and buttercream frosting.
Beautiful.
That is all definite. It will either be vanilla cupcakes or coconut cupcakes. And you would think coconut would be overkill. We thought we're not going to need the coconut. But then we tried the white chocolate raspberry with chocolate ganache filling in the coconut cupcakes. Oh, light tasting, just another level of decadence. And so we know all of those factors. White chocolate raspberry, we know how to slice the raspberries, not puree the raspberries. It's white chocolate chips, not white chocolate buttercream frosting. We tried all of these things. I think we each ate 8 cupcakes over the course of 12 hours on Saturday.
We paced
ourselves, but it's either vanilla or coconut cupcakes. And so Bob and my brother will get to decide which kind of cupcake. But we're also going to have purple pearls, I can say, and little purple flowers on top to go along with my predominant color for the wedding.
Nice.
Yep.
Those sound great.
Amazing. And my best friend Stephanie is making them. She will actually make them at my mom's in her kitchen the day before the wedding. So these will be fresh and delicious. I'll send you all kinds of photos of the cupcakes. Maybe not wedding photos, but definitely photos of
cupcake
the food.
Photos. All right, we'll do one more here with the wedding. You ready for this?
Okay.
Lisa wants to know. Well, she says, I was at a wedding where the bride and groom were huge Steelers fans, so everything was black and gold.
Really?
Is there any kind of sports theme you'd find acceptable for your wedding?
No. No, sports is my job. I understand I'm different than a lot of people. It's not that I don't love sports. It's not that I don't appreciate them. They've provided me with a long and extensive career, but no. Bob is a college football fan, and he listens to the show, but he's not a humongous sports fan either. So absolutely not. We rarely talk about sports, and I mean rarely. I would say 2% of our entire conversation over the last year has been about sports. And you know what? My family doesn't talk to me about sports. They know me as Amy, not Amy Lawrence. And I'm just wife-to-be, daughter, sister, auntie, friend. None of that has to do with my job. So no, sports are not my passion. Radio is my passion. Sports are not my passion.
Well, that kind of goes into what my next one, which was Lloyd, who was going to ask, do you like talking sports with your family and friends when you're not working?
No, I don't. In fact, if a guy wants to, well, this is pre-Bob. Sorry, Bob. If a guy wanted to talk about sports with me on a date, it was a red flag right away. Nah, I need a break from it. It's funny because a lot of my friends in the business would say, I got to marry someone who's in the business so they understand. And I get that. But I recognize over the course of the last 10 to 15 years, I need to get away. When I'm with my family and friends, I don't want to take work with me. It'd be like if you're a plumber and all you do is talk plumbing while you're with your family and friends. No.
Talk plumbing, talk some shop. All right. This one comes in from Seb, I believe is pronounced, S-E-B.
Okay.
She wants to know, how many half marathons have you run, and why did you start running half marathons in the first place?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking. I've run 7. My 7th was in Tropical Storm Ophelia about 3 weeks ago. I haven't yet gotten back to running. It was so traumatic, but I will. There are a couple of reasons I got into it. Number one, I needed a new athletic challenge, and running long distance will never be easy for me. I was always a sprinter. I ran cross country. That's a 5K. That's nothing, at least for me. But it was a huge challenge. When I started, I couldn't even run 5 miles without really laboring. And now, well, 13 will never be easy. It stretches me. It gives me a goal. It obviously helps me stay in shape. But I enjoy the fact that it's never going to be easy. And that over the course of a 13-mile half marathon, I struggle. I hit multiple walls. Mentally, I have to fight through. No, I never, ever want to run again in Tropical Storm Ophelia or any other tropical storm. That was brutal. But you know what? I didn't stop. I ran the entire freaking way. So yes, I like a challenge. I like having goals. I'm a goal-oriented person. I need something in my 40s to keep me, just help me keep in shape, help me to lose some weight, just to have something new to pursue. And now I've done 7. Really proud of myself.
It's amazing. All right. Going back to high school for this one. You ready?
Okay.
Tom, he says, we all had to read some of the same books while back in school. Catcher in the Rye, The Outsiders, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, etc.
Okay.
He goes, which one of those high school titles was your favorite that to this day that you had to read?
Huh. It's a good question. Do you remember, well, Hamlet was one of my favorites. I loved Hamlet. That's Shakespeare. Do you remember The Grapes of Wrath?
Of course.
Also a book that I really enjoyed. I know people thought I was crazy, but I really did enjoy it. Pride and Prejudice was a book that we got to read in one of my classes, one of my English/writing classes.
I didn't read that one. Other people in my grade did,
so
not me.
So good. So good. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. Gosh, not Odyssey, like Homer. I didn't love reading Homer. I liked The Scarlet Letter. I thought it was drastic, but I thought The Scarlet Letter was pretty brilliant as well. What else? If I think of any other ones, I will mention them. But those are a few that stuck with me. To Kill a Mockingbird, of course.
I was going to say that one. That
oh, you were?
Favorite.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
All right.
Tom Sawyer. Didn't you read Tom Sawyer?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
What was the other one?
Huckleberry Finn. Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn. That's Mark Twain.
Yeah, right. Okay. Let's go with some food here. Phil wants to know.
Oh, how about Moby Dick? Did you read Moby Dick in high school?
Moby Dick. No, you did? That's
cool. Dark. Yeah. Okay.
It's a long book.
It is.
They call me Ishmael.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
So Phil wants to know, have you ever made pasta from scratch?
Oh, no, I have not. Back to my best friend, Stephanie, who makes everything from scratch. She has, and I've seen other people do it, but I've never made pasta from scratch. I don't even make my own sauce. My brother makes his own sauce because he's a good Italian boy.
Another food here. Randy wants to know, what's the craziest ice cream flavor you've ever had?
Wow. I'm not sure. That might require some thought. I think you might have stumped me. I don't generally get real crazy. I like to know that I'm going to enjoy my ice cream.
Vanilla usually does it for me.
Vanilla? You're so vanilla. I do enjoy incorporating things like mocha or, you know, that type of thing. Maybe the blackberry, what's that, rum something?
Yeah. Rum raisin, rum something?
Nah, I don't like raisins. Yeah. I don't do raisins in anything. Honestly, I don't think I've done a whole lot of crazy flavors. Some of those Ben and Jerry flavors when I was a kid, because I grew up in New Hampshire, so Ben and Jerry's was everywhere. But really, I would say mocha ice cream is probably the craziest. Coffee ice cream. Yeah, coffee chocolate chip or coffee chip.
Matt wants to know, do you have any hidden talents?
Well, does piano count as hidden? I play the piano. It's not, I mean, it's something I don't do on the radio, so maybe that means it's hidden. What other hidden talents? Well, there's one that I can't share with you. It's you would never look at me the same way.
So, now I have to know.
No, I can't. I will never say it on the radio. I can't do it. I can't do it because it's embarrassing, and you'll never think of me the same.
I'm dying to know this. Well,
that's the whole point, is you don't get to know.
I will not.
It's a hidden talent. If I tell you, it's not hidden anymore,
true.
Isn't it?
That's a good point.
Okay.
Mike wants to
But I can't dance, and I'm really nervous about dancing at my own wedding reception.
Oh, you'll be fine.
I just move around and bebop. I don't dance.
What's she supposed to do?
I don't know. I just don't look elegant. I'm going to be wearing a wedding dress, for heaven's sakes. I want to look good when I dance, but I won't.
It'll be fine.
I flop.
Last one before rapid fire. Mike wants to know, do you put your heat below or above 65 when it's cold out?
Do you want to know what it's on right now?
I do.
61. And it hasn't kicked on because the lowest it's gotten in my house has been 62. But Jay, I came home from Atlanta and the dog sitter had it set at 71.
71?
I almost croaked. I walked in, I thought it was in a freaking sauna. No, I sleep better in the cold. Sleep better in the cold. So my heat will not come on until it gets down to 61 in the house.
All right, let's close out with some rapid fire.
Good New Hampshire girl.
Streaming or cable?
Oh, man. Right now, still cable.
Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Horseback riding or bicycling?
Horseback riding.
Sculpture or mural?
Mural.
Singing birds or ocean waves?
Ocean waves. That's my happy place.
Headphones or speakers?
Speakers.
Left or right?
Right.
Live theater or movie?
I'll go live theater or symphony if that's an option.
Sure. Last one here. Breakfast in bed or dinner at the table?
Breakfast in bed, baby. Bring it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.